I'll be leaving in the morning. We are related, brother. Sorry. We're in the family of God, brother.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll be leaving in the morning after lunch, after the morning meeting and lunch, and we're going to head out now. And we're going to fill up the tank. That's the tank and the gas tank, and we're going to go back to Toluca to be down with the church, down there with the church there in Toluca for the meeting Sunday. It's been good being here. Good to see you all again, seeing new faces and blessings along the way. And praise the Lord. The Lord's good. I do want to say I'm thankful for Michael Labors down there. Pretty soon we're going to have a couple more families coming. One coming back. I'm going to have the chance also to work with a new family that I've admired for a good while. And I'm just thankful for my co-laborers. I'm thankful for John. He's put up with me, and I've put up with him, and that makes for a good team. But he's been faithful. He does keep things going down there. I'm kind of like an old grunt now, I guess. But he's put up with me, and I'm thankful for John and Karen and Lauren. They're a blessing. And what else I have here? Well, let's just open up the Bibles, I guess. Colossians chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, you haven't given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I pray you remove all fears from me and my wife and Michael. Lord, that we'd preach in your confidence and your boldness. We'd teach. We'd, Lord, just do whatever, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Forgive us, Lord, where we rest on our own strength, and have mercy on us. And Lord, bless the meeting tonight and all that remain. Lord, do visit us once again. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to cite a verse. I'll just read it. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's Hebrews 10:24. You know that word provoke, it's exactly what it means, provoke. That means stir up, get you awakened, so forth. But you know, that's what this conference is about, to provoke you to love and to good works. You know, I know that sometimes we might preach a message that might throw a curve at you or might put you to wondering or something like that, but it's not for your destruction. It's for your edification. It's for love for you because I just want you to understand that we have to give account to God for everything we say, everything. And I know that there's be a lot of things I'll have to go to judgment for what I say or whatever. You know that I might have should have said better, but brother, by God's grace, everything that I have said, I'm not going to be ashamed to face my Lord when time comes, because I've did my sincere best and the ability that the Lord's given me to give God's truth the best I know how. So what you do with the truth is between you and God. If there's an error or something in there, you know, you settle it with God too. You pray for me. You pray for whoever might be that gets up and speaks and doesn't speak just right. A man without Christ is incomplete. A man without Christ is incomplete. In other words, I was an incomplete man until Jesus saved my soul. If you are in here today and Jesus is not in your heart, you're incomplete. They talk about the missing link, you know, in the teaching of evolution and all that. I'll tell you, the missing link is Jesus Christ. It's not an ape. It's not another animal. It's Jesus Christ. And people talk, or they did talk, should I say. They talked about the fountain of youth. They talked about, you know, we need to go back to, let's look for a fountain of youth. You know, that's the answer. No, that's not the answer. Ask some of these older men. They probably tried in their time to look for something to keep them young. No, you're going to get old, just like some of us are already getting old, and some of these older men are already old. We're all going to get there. But you know, you can become new in spirit. You can become new, a new creature, like has been said already, and like the Bible teaches. You can become a new creature in Christ. That's the only way you're going to become new. There's no fountain of youth out there. And the missing link is Jesus Christ. He's not missing in my life. He lives within me, and he wants to live within you. The Bible says we're complete in Him. That's what it says over there in another area, right here in Colossians, but that's not my text. Let's go to Colossians 1, 27. Start there. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. This is words of the Apostle Paul. The mystery that is a mystery to many people up to this day, but you that have been born again, it's not a mystery no more. You have been revealed God's ultimate treasure, and that's Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. There is nothing better. If you Christian aren't satisfied with Christ in you, you need to examine if you had the real thing, like they say. Because I'm gonna tell you, there's nothing under the sun. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy like Jesus Christ. And I say that not from grand experience, but I had enough of this world's goods, enough of this world's life. I mean, things of this world's. I'm translating. I'm thinking in Spanish again. I've had enough of what this life can offer me, you know, and there's nothing that satisfies like Jesus Christ. Jesus gives peace to the heart. Jesus gives a destination for one. In other words, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know where you're going. You're lost. And I'm gonna tell you one thing. Yes, you're lost and you're on the road to hell. But if you know Jesus Christ, you're found. You're found. You found the good shepherd. You found he that guides us through unto green pastures. But I wanted to use this verse, and it has a lot to preach on here. But I wanted to use this context that I say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For one, the beginning. That's it. You need to. That's what we're here for. We need to express Christ that's in you, that mystery to others that are out there. Like it says in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man. Whom we preach, warning every man. You know, that's one reason I can say my ministry, it's not so much a pastor as even though I am a pastor or a teacher, I'm an evangelist. I'm out there to preach. I'm out there to warn men. We are out there to warn one another of their ruin. In other words, my friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on the road to hell. I want to warn you also that your sin is all a lie. I mean, yes, it's real. Yes, it's in a sense it's true, but it's deceiving you. It's telling you that your sin is what you need to seek after. No, it's not. No, it's not. God wants you to repent of your sins if you're not saved here today. We need to warn men that they must come unto repentance. Now, I know it's something that God gives. It's something that only God can give. God has given us everything. Everything. Everything you have, that health you have, everything you have, that house, those riches, or even if you're a poor man, God has allowed it. God has given us all things. All things. And He wants to give every man his salvation. He wants to give them. In other words, salvation is not something you can earn. It's something you need to receive. But we need to warn men that sin is going to ruin them. You know, a lot of people don't like this hard preaching. They don't like it. They like smooth talking preachers. They like to be filled with knowledge. And I'm not against all that, man. I like to sit back and hear some good preacher with some good knowledge. I love it. I love it just like you love it. But let me tell you one thing, brother. There's a whole counsel of God that we need to preach. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. And if a man's going to see God by faith, he needs to know of his sins. We need to warn them of their sin. You need to do it. Yes, of course, in the spirit of love. You need to be in prayer, but you need to do it. We need to do it, brothers. A lot of people don't like it when you preach repentance, but it must be done. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Not, of course, not worldly wisdom, but the wisdom of God. We need to warn and teach the men. We need to teach them that, look, just like down there, you know, they baptize down there in Mexico. They baptize their infants. You know, You know, like if that's going to take away their sin and that's going to take away their condemnation or so forth or so on. No, but it's not. We need to teach them that the Lord says, go ye in all the world and teach all nations. Then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then you baptize them in the name of Jesus. But first, it's teaching them the doctrine, teaching them how what Jesus has done for them. Jesus Christ came and he died in our place. I'm glad he died in my place. He died in the place of Barabbas. He died in your place. If you know what I'm talking about. You're no good. I got to tell you this. I don't tell you this to offend you or to make you feel bad or that I'm better than you. No. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to understand that you are on the road, my friend, to the road, that road that leads to destruction. No matter how good you might paint yourself, no matter how many times you've been baptized, you must be born again. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Then it says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, Christian brother, are you perfect? I hear nothing. Amen. That's it. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Because what do I see here? What do you see up here? Wretched sinner. Oh yes. Repented. Yes, the Spirit of God lives within us and our lives aren't the same. I mean, we walk different. We think different. We act different because Jesus Christ lives in us. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Like Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know, God's working. You know why you have troubles? You know why you have blessings? Because God's working. God's maybe weakening you in one area with some trouble so you can seek him. And then he'll bless you in another area so you can seek him. In both situations that we might say, thank you, Lord Jesus, because it's his working. He might give that tribulation, allow that tribulation to come, that we might see that our strength cometh from above, from the Father of lights. And he might just bless us one day in a real good way. I don't know, in many different ways the Lord blesses us and has blessed us. He might bless us, but it also be to say thank you, Lord. You know, we're not in hell like people say. We're not in hell. We serve a God that brings affliction or he'll bring blessing because God is God, because he's working in you mightily. Why? That we might allow him to be let out more, if I might say it like that. So we can be dressed with him. Dressed with him, walking with him, talking to him, living his life, walking in his footsteps. But brothers, this context right here is what missions is all about. If you've received Christ, he's in you. That's the hope of glory. And since you've received Christ, you need to go preaching, warning every man, teaching every man, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That sounds like a big task, and it really is. That's why they need more. That's why God needs more laborers. Yes, in whatever aspect. Maybe a soul given over, a body given over, should I say, which is the same. A given over, when I say the same, I'm saying soul, spirit, body, the whole being given over to God's service. I thank the Lord for a young man that says, you know, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. But why taste any more of that filth? You know? Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? That's what we're here for. Just look in the mirror. Just look in the mirror, and what do you see? A sinner? Doesn't it remind you what your neighbor is? Sinners that we were once at one time condemned on the road to hell, not no more. Praise the Lord. But they still are. Many of them still are. Perfect in Christ. But you know, I was thinking, well, let's go to Hebrews 13. I want to kind of shift this message a little bit to another thought. But first of all, let's read Hebrews 13:21. It says in 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God sees all things. But you know what? He wants to make you perfect also in every good work. He's already made you perfect in Christ. You can't be lost if you've been born again, if you've been saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're perfect already. There's no other sacrifice needed. Jesus paid it all. Perfect in Christ. Perfect. That's why I can say, like over there in Ephesians says, that I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'm sitting with Jesus Christ, The Bible says, I'm sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Talking to a pastor over there when I was thinking back, when I was over there in Puerto Rico, a pastor of a Mennonite church. Sorry to mention that name. If it offends you, I hope not. But, you know, they had everything about right except that you could lose your salvation. Man, once in Christ, you're perfect in Christ. You can't lose yourself. And I tried to convince this pastor, and I showed him that in Ephesians, that I'm sitting with Christ Jesus in heaven. He said, no, that ain't the way it is. You know what it makes me think? Maybe that pastor wasn't saved. I hope he's saved now. Or maybe he was taught wrong. I don't know. But if you've been set in Christ, you are perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect. The other day when I was preaching things of what we ought to manifest as Christians, well, that's just natural. I mean, some more than others, yes, but you need to prove it. There ought to be some production of God's life in you. Don't get offended when the preacher gets up and says, hey, maybe you ought to learn some faithfulness. It took me a while to learn some faithfulness. And even now I struggle with faithfulness, but I know that's a fruit that God wants to see in my life. And it's something that I owe him. It's something that he deserves. And it's something that ought to be a desire of our hearts. I don't think I've completed that that example that day, that I was always coming late, and I was always being told I was late. And finally, I think I got it right. I got it right. I say, finally, I think I got it right. And it's not for so you can see me. I'm just saying, you know, don't get offended that the preacher talks works along when he talks salvation. You know, James didn't talk anything different than Paul. I mean, they believed the same, just that Paul believed man's relationship between he and God directly, and James was talking about relationships one to another. That's all. But saying all that, God wants to make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I was thinking about that, and I said I was going to shift this message a little bit. And I want to focus on the young people. I don't know how well I'll do, but I've always seen others take up the young people. You know, John, he's after the young people to give them studies. You know, hey, go for it, man. You got the energy, go for it, brother, do it. And others too. Lorenzo over there in Morelia, he's picking up on the young people. Hey, go for it. That's what it's all about. But you know, it's also up to me, especially when I see this church. I mean, I don't know, but lately I have seen the young people in this church being a tremendous blessing to me. I mean it. You know, I can almost say, maybe I'm wrong, y'all can correct me later, but it's this, maybe a third of this church is young people. Maybe it is. I'm saying the majority of the regular crowd, young people. And you know what? Young people, you know this probably as good as I do. The world's after you. The devil's after you. Your flesh doesn't like your idea of following Jesus Christ. You know, it's constant. So let's go to First Timothy chapter 1 a moment. I just want to be as brief as I can on this. not that I want to be brief, but there are various verses here, so I'll try to be as brief as I can. First Timothy. Excuse me. Because God wants to make you complete. He wants you to finish your course along with somebody like Dale. Some of us that are trying to, wanting to. By God's grace, we will. 1 Timothy 1, it says in 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And it goes on about holding the faith and so forth. War a good warfare. Another area says, it's a good fight. It's a good warfare. You know, I think about the young people, especially my son. He's not here tonight, except for my other son. But, you know, he's at the age that he could have possibly went to war, which would have been all right. And he even said he's ready to go. And some of these others are gung-ho. Hey, man, war, you know, which is fine. Good. Patriotism, man. And it's up to you, really. Because the old men aren't going to go. It's up to you. Yes, when the time calls. And that's great. You have all that patriotism and all that, and for your country and so forth. But you know what? How about the warfare for God? How about the warfare for God? I mean, I'm not saying don't defend your country and do that. Man, go for it. If that's what God's put in your heart, I mean, go for it. I'm not knocking it. Go for it. But you know what? How about the spiritual warfare? Think about those men over there that were giving their lives to Christ. Maybe the pressure of the world, God was working in them mightily to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got saved. You know, that's great. That's great. But you know what? You don't need to go to a battlefield like that in order for you to give yourself over to God. You're in a good spiritual warfare. You're in something good. It's a good warfare. It's a good fight. What are you gonna do? You're gonna choose the world and think that everything's gonna go like you want it to go? It might in many ways. Yes, it might. But you know what? You lose going back. You lose going back. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but the rewards are here. The blessings are here. The peace and the satisfaction is in the good warfare. It says in 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, having made shipwreck. That's what young people need. When I was a young person, most of y'all's young people's age here, you know, I ran around with a bad conscience. That's what sin does. And I'm not glorifying sin. I didn't like a bad conscience. I wanted to have satisfaction always. And you know, in Christ, yes, there's tough times, but there's satisfaction. I mean, it's constant. It's constant flowing. Every time you and I seek after God and find His perfect will. But in the world, you're not going to get that. You're going to walk. The world's going to overcome you in a sense to where you will run in a conscience that's voided, or I say a conscience that with it's not a good conscience. And I say that, young people, because you know I see men here, I see young men here in the peace of God. I really do. You young people, you bunch up and you get out there and you're together. You know, there's no liquor bottle in the midst of you. There's no cigarette marijuana there. I mean, you know, there's no cussing going on, and you're having a good time. You think you're gonna have a better time if you get with the worldly crowd? No, I'm gonna tell you, no. You're in a good warfare. Let's go to chapter 3 of Timothy, right there. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Corey, that's a good work. Man, may you seek God and all that you can, because this is a good work. I was talking this morning about the prophet and the prophet's son, you know. Man, that was good stuff, man. Y'all missed a good morning meeting, sorry. But you know, that's it, you know. There's blessings. That's a good work. That's a good work. I mean, what other work really compares to? And we're not saying we're better than you, us that are missionaries, you know, because we can be knocked down tomorrow. I mean, you know, we got to be careful, you know, we really do. But this is a good work. In me, you know, I used to drive a truck. I mean, that's fun. I mean, that's good stuff, man. You feel good and macho, whatever, you know. And then you bust that load off of there, right, Brian? And then you get that big paycheck later on. That's good stuff. You know, that's good. It's you know, but you know, I wouldn't trade going back to being a truck driver for giving up being a missionary. I wouldn't. I mean, you know, I'm saying that by God's grace. Now, one day I might have to help me get through, but I'm telling you, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to God to answer my prayers in certain areas, and I'm trusting Him to do it. But I want you to know one thing. It's a good office. Get up, start doing God's work. It's a good thing. I think about that example, you know. There's a movie. I won't mention the name because, you know, maybe it's not a good movie to mention before y'all. I don't see it real bad. I like to watch it every once in a while. My family's tired of seeing it over and over. Later on, maybe I'll invite you to come watch it. But it's a cowboy movie, and it had this man come in, and he was a preacher. Well, that's why, you know, he really wasn't a preacher, but they call him a preacher. But, you know, he came in as that, you know, and it got him through the doors. He did some things, you know, and then I think it was the county sheriff or the town sheriff or whatever found out he came through town, and he heard about him, and then he found out he was a preacher. He said, "A preacher? You mean a preacher?" He said, "Man, in other words, he gave the understanding, we got to get rid of this man because a preacher is going to instill faith in these people." They were out there to get gold and whatever, and he didn't want these people to have hope. This county sheriff. What I'm trying to say is, you can instill faith in somebody else's life. I'm gonna tell you that's a good feeling. When you see people, like was shared, get up and share the Lord's Supper, sister. You were saying that the other night. You know, or get up and give a testimony or preach. And like the last Sunday that we was there, sister got up and we do something a little different down there every so often. We ask every so often if someone in the midst of us has received Christ and knows they've been saved. We don't ask them if they've been baptized, at least maybe later, but at this moment, has anybody been saved or received Christ Jesus as their Savior? And I didn't see anybody, so I was getting ready to go on with the thing, and all of a sudden, my sister got up. All right. And she said, she used that verse out of 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and so forth. You know the verse. That is good. I want to instill faith. Now I know it's God's work, but I want to be used of God. It's a good work. It's a good work. Don't let it get past you, young person. And also, chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'll repeat it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, I can't put anybody under law, and I'm not trying to put anybody under law. But let me tell you, when I was about your age, I was into rock and roll. I was. But you know what? Those things drove me to the wrong. And that's all it's going to do to you. That's all it's going to do. You know, they'll have words in there like, a rebel, you know, kill your mama, kill your daddy, kill yourself. Why do you think this type of stuff happens so much amongst young people? This rebellious attitude. Why? Because they're listening to the spirits that are going to cause them to depart from the faith. Seducing spirits. Man, isn't that something when that music board just sounds good to the flesh and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They're seducing. You're being seduced. You don't think so. You say, oh, Dad, you've been through it. It's okay. No, let me tell you, I look back and I hear some of the music that I used to hear. I've heard some of the music that I used to hear. And you know what? Many times when I would hear it back then, I wasn't paying attention to the lyrics. And then now, once in a while, I'll hear something like that, or maybe in the store and I'll hear it. I say, man, the things it's telling me to do. I'm not kidding you. You need to wake up. You know, and some of that stuff you don't understand, you know, you'd never know what it might be telling you. Seducing spirits, young people. You know, I could name a bunch of things, you know. Now this could be, you know, this is also for the older folks. But I want to focus on you guys, because I see a good hope in you guys. I see it. I mean, it's a blessing. I just sit back and watch when you guys bundle up together and do it, and you're doing right. You're not looking how to cut somebody up or what you're going to steal tonight, or, you know, that type of thing. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then chapter 4 right there, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, we always like that, right, young people? I say we, I put myself with you. But you as a young person, no, don't despise my youth. You know, that's right, we shouldn't. We heard testimonies this morning. A young man, you know, now he's a missionary on the field, Michael back there. And look at what God's blessed him with. Don't despise the youth. No, we don't despise. No, matter of fact, it's a good thing. But how about being an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity? You know, brother, I see you get up, you know, and I still, you can hear me now, stammering as I preach, you know. Brother, you've done good. Keep it up. I don't despise your youth. I did terrible my first few times, and I'm probably no better now. But you know what, brother? It's a good thing. I don't despise your youth. I don't despise John. He's a few years younger than me. But you know what? Maybe more than a few, right? But you know what? That brother every once in a while whips out a good teaching, and I get a good learning. But what I want to say is, you got something good for you. Don't let this world, the world's goods or whatever, fool you. And I won't cite the rest, but I'll just kind of read them. Flee the riches. Let's look at it. It's 1 Timothy 6 right there, 9. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And here's this Paul talking to Timothy, a younger disciple of his. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Flee. We need to learn to flee. I need to learn to flee. Hey, here's some things we just need to learn to flee from. What about riches? You know, that's coming your, some, that's going to be a temptation for some of you soon. I'm saying, you know, I just gave my son 4 applications by a good brother that I'm thankful for, but there's some big bucks on that thing that he can possibly get if he gets one of those jobs. What if you get one of those jobs? Are you going to reject the job that can possibly hurt your spirituality for one lower paying? I hope you can have a good job like that and still serve the Lord. That'd be good. That'd be fine and dandy. But if you get away from serving the Lord, you need to learn to flee sometimes. Flee some areas. And of course, we talked about a good fight. Put on a good fight and lay hold on eternal life. There's nothing better. I just wonder. If there's a young person here or an older person or somebody just came in, are you saved? I'm not here to judge nobody. But there's nothing better than laying hold on eternal life. Say, I know whom I have believed. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I might not appear to you, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I'll see him in the last day. Philippians chapter 3. We'll end with this one. Philippians chapter 3. You know, I want to come back, and I want to come back to this church, and yes, before long we'll be back. You'll see me here again. I'm pretty frequent around here, but I have to come back to leave my daughter, and she'll be taking up a step to go on to. Right there, Philippians chapter 3. I forgot what I was going to say. But let's read 14. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. There's another thing for you, young person, and you, adult. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's nothing better. I'll tell you, I know it's gonna reveal itself quicker than I know. You know, sometimes I say, well, the toll of the road is a little long yet. No, it's not. No, it'll take one car accident and you're out. It'll take one drive-by and you're out. We're gonna see our Redeemer. He can come in the clouds. Are you ready? He's coming in the clouds. We need to press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if you have the mind of Christ, be thus minded. If you're perfect, be thus minded. And you are perfect in Christ. Be thus minded. Brothers and sisters, are you at the high calling? Are we at the high calling? Am I at the high calling? Let's press toward that. Amen. Let's press. Now that we're perfect in Christ and perfect in Christ, let's press to be perfect in all good works. Amen.